This isn't going to be half as good with me telling the story, but but it's still going to be good because I'm going to send you the clip, and it's going to be a whole lot more meaningful when you hear this message and then you watch this clip, okay? So Matthew, son of Alphaeus, was the call. Jesus called out to Matthew in this clip that you'll watch. And he said to Matthew, he said, "Follow me." And Matthew says, "Me? Me?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you." And then Peter comes over, and Peter's always got great things to say. And so he says to Jesus, he says, "Do you know what this guy's done? Do you know what this guy's done? Do you even know him?" And Jesus says this, he says, "Yes." And with, you know, so he's calling Matthew to follow him. Matthew knows what he's done. Peter asks Jesus, if he knows what he's done, and he says, "Yes." And then Peter says, "I don't get it." And he said to Peter, he said, "You didn't get it when I chose you either." And then he says, "This is different. I'm not a tax collector." And Jesus says this, the title of this morning's message, "Get used to different." Get used to different. And then Matthew starts following Jesus, and he says to Matthew, "Where are we going?" And one of the Marys that's part of the gathering, she says, we're going to a dinner party. And Matthew says, "I'm not welcome at dinner parties." And Jesus says this, "That's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host." So you're going to see this video clip. It is absolutely brilliant. And if I could bring one prophetic word this morning, it would be this. Get used to different, says the Lord. This is a prophetic word. And I hope I'm going to try to join the dots, because it's very important that you see this, because otherwise you're going to think that it's about something that it's not. And so if I don't get it clear, you guys help me. Somebody help me this morning to get it really, really clear. But this is the prophetic word, and I believe it's the word of the Lord. Get used to different, says the Lord. And I'm going to back this up with scripture. It is the word of the Lord. Get used to different, says the Lord. I have a series of messages that were preached by I'll mention his name. I wasn't going to mention his name because I thought nobody would know him, but Jack Taylor. I don't even know if Jack Taylor's still alive. I think he is, but he's an old man now. And I heard him preach a series of messages, and I have them in CD. I have them at home. And he said "This may not apply to you now, but it will one day. It will apply to you." And he spoke out of some of the most painful experiences in his life. I mean, it was heart-wrenching stuff that he shared out of from his personal life. And he said, "This may not be applicable to you now, but one day it will be." And you know, I've held on to those CDs because I really believe that was the word of the Lord. And every single one of us are facing something. And if you're not facing something, I guarantee you, you will face something. It's like the guy that went to bed at night on top of the world, and he woke up the next morning and one phone call put the world on top of him. You know, that's as quick as it gets. So I want to ask you a question. What is your word for this year? And now I'm not putting a guilt trip on anybody, because you may not have a word, or you might say to me, "Chuck, I have lots of words." And that's okay, because every time I open my mouth and say, "This is my life scripture," it's added to a list of other life scriptures, right? So you're able to have a number of life scriptures. It doesn't have to be confined to one, and nor this word for this year, does it have to be confined to one word. But I want to share my word with you, if that's okay. And so after I chose my word, or my word was chosen for me, depending on how you look at that, I read Psalm 138, verse 8. This is after I got my word. "When I called, you answered me, and you made me bold and stout-hearted." Now, that's a great word, even though I didn't know what the heck it meant, you know, stout-hearted. I had to look it up in the dictionary, but I thought, this is a great word. You know, "I have made you stout-hearted." So saints of God, you've been made stout-hearted. And so I looked it up, and it means courageous or determined, courageous or determined. And my word this year is courage. And just yesterday, I ran across this quote. This is a modern day guy. I don't know exactly who he is, but I think he's a nice guy. And he wrote this. He said, the rarest of all the positive human traits, the rarest of all positive human traits is courage. And it struck me because I'm hearing courage everywhere I turn. You know, once you get a word, you're going to hear it a lot. You know, you're going to hear it. You're going to see it on bumper stickers, you know, like, and you thought you were the first one for the, with that word. But the rarest of all positive human traits is courage. And this is my scripture is, my word is based in Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I tell you, this is the most important of all understandings that we can have. The understanding of Emmanuel, the understanding of not being alone. Get used to different. Get used to different. I want to make sure, it's really important that I don't pass over. That's okay. Get used to different. This is the word to Zerubbabel. Who are you, O great mountain? Every single one of us faces something, and if you're not facing something, you're going to face something tomorrow. I guarantee you, you're going to face something. What are you, O mountain? I love these. These are courageous, bold, and powerful statements that we find in the Word of God. What are you, O great mountain? And David says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. You know, and you know who he was looking at. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Elisha said this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your eyes are really deceiving you, he said. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Now open your servant's eyes that he might see, Elisha prayed. And this is my favorite. Master, master, do you not care that we are perishing? I love that. I love that. Spoken to a man sleeping on a pillow. The one that they put all their hopes and dreams in, the one that they trusted and believed that he was the one that they'd waited for all these years. And here he is asleep on a pillow. And they say, master, master, do you not care that we are perishing, that we are perishing? And then he said this, then he arose, it says, and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. I want you to picture this because if we're going to get used to different, you've got to imagine this stuff. There was a guy that I really respect, and he said, you can't exaggerate what I'm going to do, says the Lord. You cannot exaggerate. Now, Jesus steps on the scene, and these disciples could not have exaggerated, nor could they have dreamed what their eyes would see. And then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I tell you, on January 28th, 2021, that was only a couple of days ago, wasn't it? I woke up in the morning and this was what was on my mind. These are the words, and I captured them in my journal just as they came to me. These are them. A revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of who he is overall. I want to repeat that because there's a second part to this. The first part was this. A revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of who he is overall. And then a revelation of a situation is simply a revelation of a situation. I want to repeat that because we got to join these. And I want you to join it to the days we're living in right now. I don't want you to avoid COVID and the whole topic of COVID and all that's wreaked havoc over the face of the earth. I don't want you to lose sight of any of that. But that's not what we're talking about here. When we say get used to different, we're not talking about COVID here. We're talking about Jesus. Now listen to this. A revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of who he is overall. A revelation of a situation is simply a revelation of a situation. Every single one of us right now has a revelation of a situation. But why would you trade a revelation of Jesus for a revelation of a situation? Why would you do that? Why would we trade a revelation of Jesus overall for a revelation of a situation? There's a beautiful worship song. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. I love it. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise because there is resurrection life in all you do. Get used to different. I want to talk to you this morning about the calling of Matthew. and how he was called to be a follower of Jesus. Now, in Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13, we read the calling of Matthew, and I'll include that in the summary of today's message, along with the link to the chosen video on Matthew's calling. You have to see that. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. The Chosen is one. I used to really not like any of the Jesus films. I really didn't. I didn't like the character of Jesus. I mean, he didn't do anything for me except make me feel like I don't know, I wasn't religious enough, you know, or something. I don't know. But when you watch The Chosen, you get a picture of a man, one who was fully man and fully God, fully man and fully God. So in Matthew, we read it, the calling of Matthew, but then Luke's gospel describes it a little bit differently. Luke describes the Pharisees and teachers of the law complaining to Jesus' followers. They went to Jesus' followers and began to complain to them. And they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And his disciples, you know, they were soon to become a chorus of get used to different. They were soon to be the choir, and that sound would be heard over every situation. Get used to different. Get used to different. And I'm going to go through the Gospels really, really fast. And I'm just highlighting here. But listen to this. Guards sent to arrest Jesus. We have never heard, you know, the guards were sent to arrest Jesus and they never brought Jesus back with them. You know, they had an assignment and they failed to fulfill it. And they went back and they said their excuse was, we've never heard anyone speak like this. We've never heard anyone speak like this. They were disarmed by his words, his countenance, his presence, who he was, disarmed them, caused them to be unable to do what they were assigned to do, to arrest Jesus. Get used to different. John 8, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. Oh, can you imagine that woman when she turned to Jesus and said, no, sir, no one. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus said. Go and leave your sin. Leave your sin behind. Get used to different. Mark chapter 1, a leper came to him and kneeling down, he begged him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I do will it. Be made clean. The leprosy left immediately and he was made clean. There's a famous historian that wrote, and said this about St. Francis of Assisi. He said, if ever a man practiced what he preached, it was St. Francis. If ever there was anyone who practiced what he preached, it was St. Francis. I would add, if ever there was a man that understood that following Jesus made everything different, it was St. Francis. If there was ever a man that understood that following Jesus made everything different. Different didn't make everything, you know, it didn't work the other way around. You see that? It doesn't, it can, if the situation is your revelation and that's where we park in the situation and we forget a revelation of Jesus reigning over all, then yes, of course it can affect us negatively. I would add that it was, that he understood that following Jesus made everything different. Now, listen to a short story about Francis of Assisi, because we just love this guy. He was a lovable character, my goodness. I mean, even the animals loved him. I mean, it was just love, you know. I just came real close one time to an experience where I sang to the animals, you know, and they responded, you know, and I felt like Francis for a little while, you know. I was St. Francis out there in the wilderness singing to the animals. You've done it too. Come on, admit it. Okay, he found his true calling for the needy in one of his first encounters with a leper. At first, Francis recoiled from the leper in disgust. As the Spirit moved Francis to compassion, however, he turned back to the leper, took his hand, and kissed it. He then turned the man's hand over, and he placed in it all the money he had. In the years that would follow, the lepers would become some of Francis's most frequent company. Isn't that precious? That is awesome. That is so beautiful. Get used to different. In Matthew chapter 9, we read, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, he said, get up, take up your mat and go home. I stood inside the doors at the Union Mission for Men at the age of 17. I remember where I was standing, and I remember feeling clean for the very first time in my life. I had never experienced that in my whole growing up life. I never knew what an interior cleaning felt like. I never knew what it was. I felt the exact opposite. I used to have these knots inside of me that just were so tight and so twisted, and they just, that's, I lived there. That was what I lived with. And I stood inside those doors, 35 Waller Street, a man that became, that was called of God on the third floor of the Union Mission for Men. And I loved Larry the other night where he spoke about his revelation of being called as a son, of being called into the family. There's nothing that compares with that. I tell you, at the end of your life, you can have all the plaques on your wall. You can have all the accomplishments in the world, but the greatest accomplishment, the greatest thing that you will live and die with is to be a son or a daughter of the Most High. And so I stood there and I felt clean for the very first time in my life. So precious was that feeling. And then a few years later, I was in Argentina. And we were living by faith, and we traveled through Central and South America with Youth with a Mission. And we just lived by you know, miracles, really. I mean, miracle after miracle. And then I got to Argentina and I received a check from my home church here. And if I remember correctly, but you know what I did with that? Immediately I went out and bought chocolate bars. Now there's some humor to this story, but it's also a true story. And it really is precious because what I did was, I remember walking down the street and my mouth was just full. I mean, I was a glutton. I tell you, I'm not exaggerating. And one of the leaders from YWAM was walking by me, and my cheeks are like a chipmunk's, you know, just like this. And I just felt as guilty as guilt can feel, you know, because really I needed, you know what I did? I'll just fast forward. I took the rest of the money and I shared it with the whole team. You know, I didn't spend another cent, you know, but that was afterwards. But what I did was I went into a Catholic church, you know, because Catholic churches are about the only churches that leave their doors open, you know? And so I went into this Catholic church and I knelt down, and last week I got up here and I went up to the front because I wanted to capture something that Matt had shared in his message. And I didn't know he was right at the end of his message, but I got the pen and paper and I wrote it down, and he said this. He said, constant handing, you know, he talked about constantly handing over, and how Jesus doesn't need to be crucified again, but the efficacy of the cross, that Calvary, the finished work, can be applied over and over again to our hearts. And I went into this church and I knelt down and I asked for forgiveness. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I got up and I felt clean. I felt like I was at 35 Waller again, and I felt clean inside. And then I met a young man right in that church, and he invited me for dinner. It's just a great story, because I was able to live out of that, you know, like out of that freshness, you know, like it's not that, oh, Jesus forgave my sin one time, you know. Our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here it is, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so beautiful, isn't it? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's nothing like it, nothing like it. Get used to different. I was going to skip over this, and it's a long story, but I'm not going to skip over the whole thing. I'm just going to tell it real quick. In Luke chapter 7, this is one of my favorite stories, where one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dinner. So Jesus is having dinner, and a woman of the city who was a sinner, we know what kind of woman she was. She learned that Jesus was reclining at the table with the Pharisees, and she brought an alabaster jar of ointment. And standing behind Jesus, she wept, and she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed his feet, and she anointed them with ointment. This is one of the most beautiful stories. If you want to get used to different, listen to this. Because, you know, Marvin often, you know, when he lists the gifts of the Spirit, he goes through them all. He's memorized them all, you know. Like, I love that about him. Like, when he starts saying, and, you know, one of the word of knowledge, you know, the word, you know, all of this. And Jesus, you know, they're talking about Jesus over here. And Jesus says this. The prophet said, or the Pharisee says, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this was. You know, you didn't need to be a prophet to understand what kind of woman this was, but you needed to be a prophet to hear when it wasn't spoken out loud, you know, or to read a person's thoughts. And he said to him, Jesus answered, Simon, I have something to say to you. I have something to say to you. And then he went on to say those beautiful words about this woman and about her sin being forgiven. Get used to different. Get used to different. Brother Andrew, oh, this is it. Luke chapter 4. All the people of the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and they drove him out of town and they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town had been built in order to throw him off the cliff. This is also one of my favorite stories. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Don't you love that story? That's one of my favorites. You know, there was the man called the God Smuggler. You know, Brother Andrew, remember him? Went into these communist nations that were closed, and he'd go in and he coined this phrase. He was driving I think he was going into Romania at this time, but he was driving a little bug, you know, one of those Volkswagen bugs, and in the back seat he had, you know, he just had Bibles, you know, everywhere, and he prayed the prayer. He said, Lord, you have made blind eyes see. Now would you make seeing eyes blind? And he got through the border. I mean, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. Get used to different. Mark chapter 6 says, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves are there? Jesus asked. And he said, go and see. And when they found there were 5 and 2 fish, he took the loaves and the fish and he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and broke the loaves. I tell you, these disciples had never seen anything like this before, but they were getting used to it. They were getting used to different. They were getting used to what it was to walk, to be a follower of Jesus meant get used to different. They all ate, they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls and broke, you know, I mean, it just gets more and more brilliant. You know, not only were they all fed, there was leftovers. Like, just, it's just amazing. Get used to difference. This is my conclusion this morning, and I really believe that this is the word the Lord gave me, and he spoke it to me, and I just love it. I love it a lot, because, you know, there's so much. I tell people that I'm a born optimist, and then I read the Bible and I get even more optimistic. Well, I want to tell you, I refuse to go down certain roads. I refuse to be a pessimist. I refuse to go down roads of discouragement. And this is in my notes here, this is what I wrote. I said this: disappointment is not our ruler. Disappointment is not our ruler. Hope deferred is not our resting place. Unbelief is not our umbrella. You know, to Joshua, he said 3 times, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Not once, not twice, 3 times, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Where have you heard that before? Where have you heard that? In the Greek language, Scott, you'll know this very well. There's something called a double negative. And apparently it happens almost 100 times in the New Testament. But here we are in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, a very familiar scripture to all of us. There are 2 double negatives used there, and then another single negative. That's a lot of negatives. There are 5 total negatives in Hebrews 13, 5, reassuring the Christian believer that the Lord will never, ever, no, not once, never leave or forsake us. I want to say that again, because this is the promise, is the greatest promise of all promises. Get used to different, but don't get used to different alone. Get used to different as you're a follower of Jesus. As we're followers of Jesus, we need to get used to different. We need to get used to different. He does step into the room. Now, he is living inside of us. I think sometimes we get carried away with semantics, but there's something when he steps into the room. And he's been stepping into our rooms. He's doing that, and he's going to be completely continuing to do that. Thus saith the Lord, get used to different. Get used to different. A revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of who he is overall. A revelation of our situation is simply a revelation of a situation. Why would you trade a revelation of Jesus for a revelation of a situation? John was on the island of Patmos, and I'm going to conclude with this. He was on the island of Patmos, and we stood there looking out over the Aegean Sea. We came down the mountain that John would have walked on. It was my favorite part of the whole Greek island and trip that we were on. And it was my favorite part. I didn't want to leave the island of Patmos. There was something. In fact, I wanted to go back. I wanted to write from Patmos. I think we could. Our journals would be filled so beautifully if we could just spend a little bit of time on the island of Patmos. But here is John on the island of Patmos. And he's looking across, and everywhere he sees, Rome is ruling. Everywhere he sees, the iron fist of Rome is being exercised, and everywhere beyond the Aegean Sea is the persecution of Christians that they had never seen before, suffering like that is unimaginable. And he looks across this sea, and he writes this. He said, "Then a voice from the throne said, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small.' Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns.'" We sang a song this morning. I don't know if I brought over that. Let me just see if I brought it over. Did I write on that? No? Okay. It's okay. I wanted to simply say this. The Christians refused to call Caesar Lord and were persecuted. The song that we sang this morning, Scott, cost people their lives. It cost people their lives to declare that Jesus is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. He does not rule over us. Our situation and circumstances do not rule over the followers of Jesus. A revelation of Jesus Christ is him over all, walking with his followers, making everything different. Everything, 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 everything. Jesus, we honor you right now. Lord, you've been with us this morning in such a beautiful way. Lord, I want to thank you. These worship times have been just life to us. They've been precious to us. Not because they're pretty songs, but because our hearts and spirits and lives are being connected to the one we're following and strengthening us in this call. You're strengthening us in the call to follow you. You are strengthening us in the call to follow you. We say together right now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Marvin, my dear friend, my heart's been going out to Hope and Marvin at this time. As you know, they've just been going through a lot, and you're in our prayers, Hope. I want you to know that as a community, we're praying for you and your beautiful grandchildren and those three beautiful grandchildren. And Marvin's been standing with you there, I know, but we're standing with you too. And you got a great name. Hope is a great name. These are the most hope-filled days that we've ever been in, because we need him more than ever. And so, you know, and you guys need him more than ever. So these are opportunities for hope to fill your home right now, to fill your hearts. Just before Marvin comes and gives the benediction, let's extend our hands and hearts. I think they're on. I don't know, even if they're not, it doesn't matter. We're going to pray for them anyway. I mean, it does matter, but I think they are on. Father, we pray for Hope right now and Marvin. And we pray for these precious grandchildren, these three girls, these beautiful girls. Lord, we want to pray that you would fill their lives with hope, that all the days of their lives, Lord, they would be filled with hope, Lord, the hope that comes from you, Jesus. We speak Jesus. We speak Jesus over the situation. We speak comfort to Hope's heart at this time, Lord. Just strengthen and comfort, Lord. And Marvin, too, Lord, thank you for this couple, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing right now, Lord. May your presence be their portion, we ask in Jesus' name. So Marvin's going to close us out, and then Kurt's going to let us visit for a while, and that's what we're going to do. Love you guys.
Hallelujah. V'chunecha, yisod enoi pono v'lecha, V'yishem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you, and give you his shalom, give you his peace that passes all understanding. V'yishem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Go and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.